Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it still speaks to us today. So Lord, take these words that I've prepared and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wanted to, I noticed the words disappeared off the screen. So if you want to follow it, it's on page 1045, Luke chapter 12, 1045. And it's the parable of the rich fool. Just ignore that little boy back there screaming. I don't know who Sonny is. We're having a word with his parents after the service, that's for sure. So for those who don't know me, my name's Andy. I'm the curate here, and that little boy is mine. That's Caleb. He's not even two yet. And he already likes to think he does what he wants, I think. I think he probably would if I gave him the opportunity, yes. So we're entering into the summer series here at Trentham now. And all of the talks over this summer really kind of speak about the way that we are, the way that we're wired to be. All of these talks that we're going to hear, it's not just good advice on how to live so that we can be happy and carefree. Instead, it's really a challenge to every aspect of our lives and the culture that we live in around us. So today is the catchy title of Don't Be a Fool. Next week, we're going to be looking at Don't Worry, then Run the Race, then Live in Reverence and Awe, and finally finish our summer off looking at being followers of the way. So today is Don't Be a Fool. And I think in the passage that we heard, we see a contrast between the way of the world and the kingdom of God, the way Christians are called to live, the way that we are all actually made to live. And at the start of it, we see someone in the crowd shouting out to Jesus, asking a question of Jesus, asking him to intervene in a problem, intervene into a situation. And I think if you actually step back for a moment, it shows the status that Jesus actually had in that society. It wasn't unusual for a rabbi to be asked to be an arbitrator when in a dispute. That was perfectly normal in Jesus' day. But remember, Jesus isn't actually a rabbi. He's a carpenter's son. So I don't think many carpenter's sons would have been asked to intervene in a dispute. I think it tells us something of the status of how Jesus was regarded in that culture of the time. And so he asks Jesus, he calls him teacher, rabbi, he gives him that title, and he says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus, in his usual way, when he's asked a question, a direct question that has a simple answer, you would think, Jesus, instead of answering the question, but he has this knack, doesn't he, of he answers it, but without answering it. Do you read that in the Bible? Yeah? I don't know how he does it. It's something that politicians today try to do, but never really answer it. They try and use poetic language or give a roundabout way of not directly answering it, but getting to the point of what's at the heart of the question. Jesus is very good at that. He often as well, doesn't he, when he's asked a question, he'll use a parable as a way of answering it. And again, he does that here. The reason he does that is because Jesus knows that through the question, actually, there's something more important underlying the question. And so he doesn't want to address the dispute in itself. He wants to turn that question into an opportunity to minister to the deep underlying need of the individual. So what was the need of the individual here in the story? Well, there's the one brother who obviously wasn't sharing the inheritance with the other. Instead, he was keeping it all for himself. Well, the issue then isn't difficult to spot, is it? I don't think you need to be Jesus to see what's wrong here. What is it? Greed. pure and simple. And Jesus says that clearly, doesn't he? Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Greed seeks possessions. And then those possessions become a substitute for the proper object of our desire as human beings, which is God. The other lectionary reading, the other reading that was set for today was from Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 5, it clearly states that greed is idolatry. And what are we not meant to do? Create idols for ourselves. And that's what greed does. So Jesus doesn't place himself as judge in a dispute between the two brothers. He doesn't say, you give the inheritance to them, stop being silly and go away. No, he instead targets the motivation of the two brothers, that both are actually consumed with a need for possessions. Inside them both is the need to have lots of land. And so to address it, he tells the parable of a rich man. A man who is very successful, so successful that he has to expand because the barns aren't big enough for the amount of food that his land has produced. So he sets about on his project to expand, and once it's all done, he sits back, and you can just imagine, can't you, this smug look on his face, and he sits there very proud of himself, of what he's achieved. And he thinks, do you know what, now, he says to himself, take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You've earned it, after all, haven't you? Jesus there is, I think, deliberately quoting a well-known motto for the hedonistic life. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Do you remember back in 2009, early 2009, end of 2008, the atheist group wanted to do the bus campaign down in London? Do you remember that, some of you? And if you remember, they were told that they couldn't put on the bus that there was no God because they couldn't prove there was no God. So the advertising, the people who monitor advertising said, no, you can't write that. So they had to put, there's probably no God. Now, you might remember that bit. Do you remember what came after that? No? It said, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. How frighteningly similar is that to the parable of the rich man? Stop worrying, enjoy your life. Take life easy, relax, enjoy it. The same issue that Jesus is addressing here was the same issue that they wanted to plaster over the bus. But are those two brothers ready to hear that message, I wonder? See, it's good to have questions. It's good to be honest. But we need to be ready for God to minister to our underlying needs, which can sometimes be different to what we think the issue is, can't it? We've got to be willing and open to what God might want to say back to us. See, the message of this is clear. If our focus is simply on what we want, then we are a fool. The message of this talk is simple. Don't be a fool. That's the plea. I wonder what being a fool means to you. If you look at the Oxford Dictionary, then it describes a fool as a person who acts unwisely or imprudently. A silly person. Perhaps that's what you most associate with, isn't it? A silly person, a fool. I kind of struggle to say that phrase without having flashbacks to the life of Brian. Yeah, you've seen that film where his mum says he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. That kind of is the image, though, isn't it, that we have of a fool. Someone who's just a bit naughty, a bit silly. The other thing, obviously, a fool can be is a person who is duped or imposed on. A person who is duped or imposed on. Now, I think here in the parable that Jesus says, in the rich young man, both of those definitions can be applied here to that rich man. He's acting in an unwise manner. We know that. That's the point. But also, actually, like many who were hearing that story as Jesus spoke it, And like many who live today, he was duped into thinking he was doing the right thing. That's the problem for him. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. He'd been duped. There's probably no God. So stop worrying and enjoy your life. Don't be duped. See, in the Old Testament, the word fool, unsurprising like a lot of words, when they seem to change meaning from what they perhaps mean in the original Bible, the Old Testament, when it talks about a fool, means one who rejects the knowledge and precepts of God as a basis for life. I'll read that again. So in the Old Testament, a fool means one who rejects the knowledge and precepts of God as a basis for life. That's what Jesus meant when he said he's a fool. His point, Jesus' point is clear. Are you simply going to store up things for yourself? Or are you going to look to God? To be rich towards God, to be obedient and loyal to God. I was up bright and early this morning through the 8 o'clock, and we say it every morning, every Sunday morning at the 8 o'clock. We say, you know, do not store up for yourselves treasure on the earth. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where the rust and the moth don't corrupt. Where you're not worrying that if you go on holiday, as I'm sure many of us are going to over the summer, will I return to find my house broken into and my possessions stolen? Possessions are nice, but they can cause us anxiety and worry. They're not the focus of our desire, or they shouldn't be the focus of our desire. Everton is moving on now. We know we had his last service with us last Sunday. And as David was said in his prayers, we're heading into a new season as a church. The strange thing is, we're all equal because none of us know what that new season is going to look like yet. We won't know until the new vicar comes and begins for them to listen to God on what they might be saying. So the next step for this church is. But what we do know is that our role hasn't changed. It's still the same. It's to keep looking to God, listening to God, for our hearts to be obedient to God's ways, seeking first the kingdom of God, for our hearts to desire the things of God, and to say to God continually, your will be done, not mine. That hasn't altered. So at the start of this summer series, looking at the way we are, the way we're wired to be, my plea is don't be a fool. Don't ever be duped into thinking that life without God is better than life with God. Don't be duped into thinking possessions can be better than a relationship with God. And don't ever act unwisely by thinking we know better than God, because he is the one who created everything we see. He is the one who knows the beginning and the end. He's the one who loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us, so that we might have that right relationship with him. I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to touch on what Dick's going to be saying next week. But that we might not worry about anything. Don't be a fool. We're not in control. But we are safe in the knowledge that God is. So follow his basis for life, not what the culture around us tells us. Amen.